invite you to turn to John chapter 21. As you know, the theme is the victorious life for this year. And so the messages, especially this month, are really geared to helping us live the victorious life. Of course, every message, I guess you could say, has that as its end result if we heed the Word of God. But specifically, just trying to help us in the Christian life live a life of victory. Not many in this room would seriously think that they would ever turn back, or what we would say, backslide, or return to their former life. In Galatians chapter 5, the Bible talks about standing in the liberty that Christ has made us free. And then it says, don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That lets us know that just because we're saved does not make us exempt from sin, as well as going back to some of the former things that really were indicative of those, of that lifestyle before we got saved. Not many would ever think that they would ever reach a low point spiritually where they would openly deny the Savior. And yet I know that in the almost 40 years that I've been a Christian, that I could point to people who at one time named the name of Christ, and now they won't have anything to do with Christ. Not many would ever think that they would turn cynical to the point of questioning and not believing God's Word. In fact, most of us in this room would say, well, I'm a Bible believer. We wouldn't think about turning back or what we would term backsliding. And yet in the Scriptures we see that there are many individuals, good people, that turn back. We have the example of four chapters in the Old Testament of Jonah, how that he was told to go to Nineveh and preach against that city, preach repentance to that city. And he didn't want to, because he knew that if God was calling him to preach, that God was going to do a work, and he wanted to see all the Ninevites in hell. He didn't want to see them saved, because the Ninevites had done so many despicable things to the Israelites that he had no passion or compassion for them at all. So here God tells him to go northeast, and he determines he's going to go the other way, and he runs southwest. And we know the account how that he backslid and the whale swallowed him and then coughed him up, vomited him, the Scripture says, on the shore. And finally, I don't know how much time elapsed from the time he was called to the time he obeyed, but you can imagine how many people slipped off into eternity when he was in disobedience. But we find here's a preacher who backslid. We also see the example of David, and how he's probably one of the prime ones when we think of good people doing wrong things. Many times that's where our minds go to, with the sin of David and Bathsheba. We have the account in the New Testament about John Mark, how that on the first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13, John Mark goes. He's a young preacher. He's filled with a whole lot of zeal, but not a lot of knowledge and no experience. And he gets looking at the circumstances of life, and then he turns back. He says, I can't take this, and he turns back. And I know we like going back to 2 Timothy, where Paul says, bring Mark, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. But let's not forget that for 10 years he is serving in really obscurity. We don't know much of what's going on, but the fact of the matter is, at this particular point in time, he backslid, and he lost some ground in his Christian life. We also see Peter, who denied the Lord. He ran from the soldiers, followed from a distance, and now in John chapter 21, we find him backsliding even more. Now, I'd like to read the first 14 verses of Scripture. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Now, of course, Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. For those of you who've been to Israel, you know that that is Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, Lake of Gennesaret. It's all three the same thing. He says, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, and that would be John, the writer of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John in the book of Revelation. He said, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there was not so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto him, verse 12, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. I want to, in this message, really address the subject of backsliding and some of the pitfalls and warnings, and also try to give us some help on where this could be the greatest year spiritually that we've ever experienced as believers, and how that we can avoid the sin of backsliding. Because with every sin, there is a consequence. For the wages of sin is death. But we realize that with every sin, there are various consequences even in this life. And we want to live a life of victory this year, don't we? The first thing I want us to see from this passage of Scripture is that if backsliding happened to Peter, it can happen to you and me. And I think that's one thing that we have to come to the stark realization as believers, that we can sin, that we can backslide, that we can lose ground. In fact, in 3 John verse 8, it says that he's interested in us receiving a full reward and that we don't lose those things that we've worked so hard for. What a shame to go through what we've gone through to this particular point spiritually and then blow it all in a moment of sin. In a moment of fleeting pleasure, as the Bible says, there's pleasure in sin for a season. And I think we have to realize that if sin could come into the life of the Apostle Peter, the Apostle to the Jew, and Paul the Apostle to the Gentile, here was one of the primary ones that God used, gave him authority, opened up the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the then known world, to the Jew in Acts 2, to the Samaritan in Acts 8, to the Gentile in Acts 10. If he can sin, we can sin. And one of the greatest things that you and I could come to grips with to live the life of victory is that there's never a time in our life where we can be absolved from our position of being as close to the Savior as we possibly can be. We need to stay close to Him all the time. We need to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And if sin could come into the life of a man like Peter, then sin could come into your life and my life. I think we need to realize that. I think we need to admit that. And many times what happens in our life is we go through saying, you know what, the preaching I hear, the Bible reading that I'm involved in, and the teaching I sit under, and the friends that I have, I think I'm above this now. I think I can handle this now. And we never need to come to that point. We need to fear sin. Job had the secret. He was a man who feared God and eschewed evil. He had such a respect for God. He saw God as holy, and he said, anything that smacks of sin, I'm running the other way. He didn't see how close he could come to it. He didn't see how much he could play with it. And you and I need to admit to this fact that, hey, we can backslide. And I'm not talking about our neighbors. I'm not talking about this one or that one in the church. I'm talking about personally. We've got to come to the grips that, hey, Mike Sullivan can sin. Do I want to sin? No. I trust you don't want to sin. Paul says, I don't want to sin, but I do sin. He didn't excuse it. He ran to the Savior with it. So if backsliding happened to Peter, it can happen to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let's not be so proud that we say, hey, I'm okay now. I can do this. We can't. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. If angels are stronger than us, the devil is stronger than us. Because he's a fallen angel. The only way that we can defeat the powers of darkness is as we stand in the strength and power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6. So if backsliding happened to Peter, it can happen to us. Number two, be careful this year how you handle your disappointments. Be careful how you even think back of the disappointments of last year. I'm talking about true disappointments. I'm not talking about the wrong perceptions you may have of things, but there may have been some things that happened in your life that have truly been disappointing to you. And you need to be careful how you handle your disappointments. The devil will try and capitalize on every setback, every offense, every hurt that comes your way. He will try to magnify that, and he will try to get you to backslide. He'll try to dishearten you, to discourage you, to cause you to despair as far as the Christian life is concerned, and doing anything for him, and get you to turn back and backslide. He'll do it. I always say this, whatever price you have on your Christianity, the devil will meet it. He'll pay the price. You say, boy, if this ever happens to me, I'm not going to serve God. Or, hey, I'm sick and tired. He says, I'll call that. I'll set the stage. I'll have people come in there. I'll have deals work out to where, hey, we'll meet that. Because he doesn't want you to make it. The devil is our adversary. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is going to do everything in his power to try to besmirch the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way he does that is through the new creation in Christ, that's you and me. He can't get to Jesus himself. He tried that on the cross. He tried that in the grave. And he was defeated. And so now he tries it through your life and my life. And he doesn't play fair. There are some folks not sitting in this room today because they backslid. Do you have anybody in mind? No, I don't have anyone in mind. But by the same token, if God tarries his coming until this time next year, I wonder how many in this room will not be sitting here next year because they've backslidden. And the stage has already been set by the devil himself to try to get you to mishandle your disappointments in life. And we find here that when Peter here in John chapter 21 said, I go a-fishing, he influenced others, but he had just gone through a time of personal disappointment. You realize in Matthew chapter 16, if you were to read that passage of Scripture, verses 21 to 28, you'd find that that's when the Lord Jesus was instructing the disciples, saying, look, I am not going to set up my earthly kingdom now. I'm going to have to go to the cross. I'm going to have to bear the sins of the world. I'm going to have to be buried. I'm going to have to be raised from the dead. And Peter pulled him aside and said, that's not going to happen to you. I'm not going to let it happen. And Jesus rebuked him and said, you know, you're not doing right. You get behind me, Satan. In other words, here's Peter allowing the devil to use him as an instrument of unrighteousness. And you and I need to realize the fact that just because we're saved doesn't mean that the devil can't use us for his purposes. God forbid that any one of us in this room would be used by the devil to sidetrack anyone else in their spiritual advancement. And yet many times we find ourselves trying to justify our sin and our lack of spirituality. And misery loves company, and so does the backslidden Christian. They love to gather others and rationalize their sin and their condition. I'm not pointing my finger this morning. What I'm saying is, let's be warned. Let's be careful that this doesn't be us. Be careful how you handle your disappointments. Number three, be careful of your expectations. Be careful of your expectations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul writes to the church of Corinth. He says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Be careful of the expectations you place upon others and how they may meet the need of your life. There's only one person that can truly meet the need of your life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said it so many times, and I have to remind myself so many times that, hey, as soon as I put an expectation upon someone else, I set myself up for disappointment, for offense, for failure, and for the potential of backsliding. The only person that I'm going to be totally satisfied with is the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes if I lose my perspective, I can have the wrong view of Jesus Himself. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? God forbid that we'd get to that point. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." As you depend upon Him, you'll just go from glory to glory. Then you can practice verse 58 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. Satan will use unrealized and unfulfilled expectations to rob you of your victory and cause defeat to settle in. Things don't go the way you envisioned that they would go. You sort of had these grandiose plans, or you had this ideal as to how this particular thing would go, and it doesn't go that way. And you need to be careful that that Satan doesn't move in and set up his tent, drive the stakes deep, and determines that he's going to live there. People have marriage expectations. People have Christian expectations. They have church expectations. Our sufficiency needs to be of God. Number four, you can backslide right in the middle of the will of God. Did you get that? You can backslide right in the middle of the will of God. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that 24 years ago, God led our family to Manitoba. That was the will of God and continues to be the will of God for me and my wife. But just because that's the will of God and I happen to be in the will of God does not mean that I can't backslide right here in Winkler, Manitoba. And so sometimes we say, well, you know, I'm right where I'm supposed to be, but how are you right where you're supposed to be? Are you walking with God? Is there a vibrancy in your spiritual life? Are you wallowing in your disappointments? Are you wallowing in your carnality or the carnality of others? Be careful. Be careful. we find here that Peter has been right with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see here that it mentions here in John chapter 21, our text passage, that that was the third time that Jesus had been with the disciples after his resurrection. Remember, when he was resurrected, the Lord said to Mary, "You go tell the disciples and Peter that I am alive." And that shows Jesus' concern for that one who is struggling in his spiritual condition. And you might be in that state this morning. Let me just say, Jesus is concerned about you. Could it be that he ordained this message to be preached so that you could get on track? And I believe that that's one reason why he was so specific to say to Mary, "Hey, go tell Peter and the other disciples," because he knew Peter would be taking it harder than anyone else. He'd be feeling the shame of his sin and what he had done in denying the Lord, turning back, following from a distance, after he had pulled Jesus aside in Matthew 16 and said, "I'll die for you. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to let anything happen to you, Jesus." You can backslide right in the middle of the will of God. Number five, you can backslide being in the right crowd. You can backslide being in the right crowd. In John chapter 21, verse 2, it says, "There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples." That's a pretty good crowd. They were the creme de la creme. They were the upper crust of believers. They had just spent 3.5 years with the blessed Lord. They had heard his teaching. They're the ones that were sitting in the big crowds when Jesus taught, but they were also in the little conclave as Jesus taught them personally the minute details of truth that he was trying to generally give to the crowd. They were involved in all that. And so here we find Peter in the midst of all this good company saying, "I'm going fishing." You see, we don't put a lot of stock and we don't understand really what he's saying here. Remember when Jesus came to him in the early chapters of Matthew, he said, "Follow me." And it says that Peter left his father and the nets and followed the Lord. But in this particular passage of Scripture, we have him going back to his former life. He's saying, "Look, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going back to fishing. I'm going to go back and make some real money. I'm done with this." You can backslide being in the right crowd. You know, we tell college students that one of the easiest places to backslide is in Bible college. You stop and think about it. You're here Sunday morning. Came Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We usually have the ministry shut down on Mondays. But then the college students are in chapel at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays. Church on Wednesdays, chapel on Thursdays, chapel on Fridays, chapel on Saturdays. And then if they take Bible courses, they're getting all kinds of Bible instruction. And if you're not careful, you'll take in, and everything just gets to be commonplace. And it's real easy to backslide. "Oh, I heard that before. Oh, yeah, that applies to them, not me. I'm okay." Wish he'd come up with a different illustration for that. "Yeah, old so-and-so said the same thing. Oh, I heard that sermon some time ago." And boom, we categorized it. We set it aside. We set ourselves up to backslide. College is one of the easiest places to backslide. And being in a church like this where we hold to the Word of God, try to the best we can, and where our Sunday school teachers give themselves to imparting God's truth with a goal and bringing in the net every single time the Word of God is given, and the messages and the guest preachers and the conferences are all geared to lifting high the cause of Christ and His Word, it's real easy to say, yeah, same-o, same-o. And all of our personalities are the same, and we get a little bit sick of one another. And so, in other words, we lose the spiritual vitality and passion of the Word of God and the Spirit of God that wants to work so mightily in our midst. I'm not preaching to the church down the road, even if this is the start of Highway to Heaven. Some of you old timers will know what that means. But you can backslide right in the right crowd, right here. I wonder how many of us, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to all of a sudden just manifest our hearts, how many of us right here, right now are right with God? And yet we all look right with God, and if we were probably asked, we'd probably say, yeah, I'm right with the Lord. Sometimes I've gone to guys and say, hey, are you on praying ground today? I wonder how many of us are on praying ground today. Or how many of us say, you know, could you give me 5 minutes so that we could run in some room or maybe in the prayer room and we could get our hearts right and then say, I'm ready now. But the fact of the matter is, when the rapture takes place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're not going to be able to say, could you give me 5 minutes? Give me 5 minutes and I'll get it all straightened out. I'll get all my grudges, my animosities. I'll get all my disappointments in line. I'll look to you. Everything's going to be all right. And I'm ready to serve you. Now I'm ready to go. Number six, when you backslide, you must realize that you influence others. In verse 3 of our text passage of Scripture, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Every single one of us have a realm of influence. I have a realm of influence. When I make a decision, I determine to go somewhere or I say something, it influences others. You're driving down the road in the family, you say, you know, I've got a hankering for a Tim Hortons. All of a sudden, everybody's got a hankering for Tim Hortons. Amen? And oh, you say, I hate Tim Hortons. Okay, put your favorite place in there, okay? McDonald's. But we all have that influence. You know, we don't even really come to grips with how much influence we really have. And so when we do something positive, it has a positive influence. When we do something negative, it has a negative influence, not just in our lives, but those that we influence. I mentioned Wednesday night about the influence of Facebook and some of these other things and how that influences others, either positively or negatively. God help us. The following are some consequences of backsliding. And I don't want to see any one of us backslide. Number one, you lose your joy. You lose your joy. And that's one of the problems of backsliding is you lose your spiritual joy. Number two, you lose your effectiveness. In verse 3, notice it says, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Not a nusht. Nothing. Before that time, their lives were blessed. Things were happening. But when they weren't right, nothing was right. Because they were trying to live life in the power of their flesh. And boy, they were still saved. They were still disciples. They were still. They still were what they were. But they were in the flesh in that place trying to do it their way. And they worked and they worked and they worked and they worked. And it just didn't work out. They caught nothing. You lose your effectiveness when you backslide. Number three, you get to the point where you don't even recognize Jesus anymore. One of the saddest things is when I, as a pastor, in a church service, you're hearing of people getting saved and answering, prayers are being answered in our midst, and then somebody sits there and says, I just don't get fed anymore. And here these disciples, folks, listen. They didn't even recognize that it was Jesus saying, hey, cast your net on the right side of the boat. Isn't that what the scripture says? They didn't even know it was the Lord. And sad to say, you could come to a place like this where the music and the preaching is Christ honoring and lifting Him up and exalting the Word of God, and yet you can miss it and not even recognize that Jesus is working. Ho hum, I've made my appearance. The disciples, who is that guy? One of the consequences of backsliding is you get to the point where you don't recognize Jesus anymore. Number four, you find yourself in some embarrassing situations. Say, what are you talking about? Where do you get that in the text? Here's Peter, he's naked. And don't think that he was stark naked. In the Bible, when you were in your undergarments, or that they had an undergarment that they would wear, that they were considered naked. I wish we'd learned that today. We don't understand Bible nakedness. Didn't mean that Peter was just there stark naked, but yet he knew that he wasn't going to go approach Jesus without being properly attired. Oh, yeah. Don't go there, Pastor. Let's leave that one alone. God help us. It's an amazing thing. When the demoniac got saved, what happened? He was clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's an amazing thing. When people start walking away from the Lord, they start taking their clothes off. And just because you add a little color to your underwear doesn't make it right to parade in front of the crowd. Pastor, that's 50 years ago. I was talking to the staff guys, and I said, it's an amazing thing how the distinction of the sexes never was an issue until about 75, maybe 100 years ago. But may I remind us that the earth is about 6,000 years old, 4,000 of the Old Testament taken up, 2,000 in the New. And God has always made sure there's a distinction and always made sure that the sexes were clothed. If you're not careful when you backslide, you'll find yourself in embarrassing situations. Here's the answer to backsliding. That's what I like about the Lord. Is, you know, He'll give us truth like this, and He doesn't just hammer us. He gives us a solution too. Amen? I like that. Number one, when God sends people and circumstances into your life to help you, listen. When God sends people and circumstances into your life to help you, listen. You know, here's Peter in the boat, and he's saying, and the Lord says, hey, throw your net on the other side. And they did that. He listened to him, and what happened? He caught fish. And you and I need to be so spiritually approachable. As the Bible says in Timothy, it says, easy to be entreated. And that's the problem with many of us. We're so stinking proud that if we're headed in the wrong direction, we are not open to have anybody come and tell us anything. Because who are they in their problems and in their situation, and they're not having this particular area of their life right? Who are they to come and tell me? And look over there and look over. Hey, folks, if God sends somebody in your life to help you and encourage you and even point out the wrong direction you may be taking, say, thank you, Jesus. In John chapter 21, if you're looking at your Bible, my next page is the book of Acts. What if Peter would have been so proud that he had said, who is that Yehu on the beach telling us to throw that net on the other side? Tell him to get his own boat and do his own fishing. I'm the expert here. I was doing this before he was born. We wouldn't have the book of Acts. But you know what? He listened. You may not like Mike Sullivan, but what I'm preaching today is the truth. And it could very well be that God would use this wretched instrument of a man to bring you the truth, to help you, to keep you from backsliding and being a shipwreck in your life. Now, I like it when you like me, but even if you don't, God may use, you know, it's like the preacher said, he can hit an awful straight lick with a crooked stick or something like that. When God sends people and circumstances into your life to help you, listen. Number two, when God reveals himself, get to him as fast as you can. I call it keeping short accounts. You see, the devil will bring guilt into your life to make you discouraged, to get you to quit, to cause despair, get you to turn back. You know right there, if that's what's happening, that's of the devil. Because the Lord will bring conviction in your life, and what will happen, you'll get hit and you'll say, oh my, I need to get right with the Lord. Or, you know, that's right. I need to get that right. I need to go find God. Conviction, the Holy Spirit will draw you to the Savior, will draw you to God. Whereas the devil will say, oh, don't go to church anymore. Don't read the Bible anymore. Don't get with Christians anymore. I think we ought to try another fellowship. We're just not getting it here. Or maybe we're getting too much here. When God reveals himself through conviction, get to him as fast as you can. Brother Beckham, I think, did this when he was here. He mentioned that, hey, when he's preaching a message, if even during the sermon, if someone wants to get right with God, just come on down, do business with the Lord, and go back and be seated and take the rest of the message in. Fact of the matter is, if 5 minutes into the church service, if you hang on to that which you've been under conviction about and you don't get that right, you're not going to get anything else out of the message. So that's why as soon as the Holy Spirit of God smacks you upside the head and say, get this right, you need to say, God, please forgive me of that. I'm talking about inside. You don't have to start muttering there in your seat. He said, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And if there's somebody else involved, I'll go make that right as I can be. And I'm going to do that. And Lord, please forgive me. And the Lord says, I heard that prayer. You are forgiven. It's under the blood. It's buried in the depths of the sea. Now go on and enjoy the rest of the message, what I have for you. But sometimes what we'll do, we'll wrestle through it. And say, I got to wait to the invitation. You don't have to wait to the invitation. Get right then. When God reveals himself through conviction, get to him as fast as you can. And lastly, I like this. Jesus will take you back. That's the wonderful truth about it. He'll take you back. And not only will he take you back, sometimes we think, oh, what he's going to do is he's going to take us back, but he's going to make me sit in a low seat. Well, amazing thing about this account is you notice the beloved John, hey, he was backslidden too. He said, I'll follow Peter too. I'm going with you, Peter. You're going fishing, I'm going too. But then there came that point in time where all of a sudden the light went on and John said, that's the Lord. That's the Lord that gave us that instruction to throw the net on the right side of the ship. And you notice what it said, that when they came back to the shore, Jesus was there. Jesus had the fire going. He had bread waiting. And there was already caught fish on the coals. The fish was already there. Isn't that good? And then he said, now you bring the fish that you caught, because we're going to cook that up too. But he already had some fish for him. What a great example. Here are these guys that I go fishing. They got backslidden. And you see the patience of Jesus Christ, how that he continues to lovingly go after them, gives them that mild rebuke, throw the net on the other side. I'll show you who's in charge. He reveals himself to them. The disciples all of a sudden say, oh, we're going to come back. And Christ receives them, feeds them, nourishes them. And that's what God will do in your life. You say, you know, I've blown it. Here we are at the early stages of 2012, and I've already blown it. And I want to live a life of victory, pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing about it is right here, right now, he's calling to you out of the ship. And if you look real good and you catch a waft of the breeze coming out, he's got the fish on the coals, the bread's right there in the oven, and he says, come and dine. As the chorus says, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. Amen. He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry. He calleth now, come and dine. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, Matthew chapter 5, you shall be filled. If Jesus Christ tarries his coming until this time next year, will you be here? Is there some unseen kind of marker you've established in your life and say, you know what? If this ever happens, I'm done with this thing called Christianity. And what you need to realize is we're talking about Jesus. We're not talking about a system of religion. How committed are you? And let me just remind each and every one of us how committed he was. And praise the Lord how committed he is to us. Amen? He's committed to us. It's not new. My pastor who's in heaven, Bob Kelly, said, backsliding is not a blowout. It's a slow leak. You got a leak in your spiritual life? Plug it today. Plug it today.